Good evening, one and all. Yes, a Wednesday, halfway through another, and here we are in September already. I mean, time just flies by, and I tell you, it's what did I say the other day? Age is like a toilet roll. The further you get down, the quicker it goes, and it's true. The older you get, time just flies by, and I mean, here we are, as I say, September, and yes, the weather has let us know that here today in Connecticut. It's been wet. Not just wet, but torrential wet. But I think it's like either the tail of the last hurricane or the beginning of the next hurricane. But whatever it is, it's been very wet today. But I am here, and so is my guest. Now, along the, 1,700 shows we've done on along the way, we have a lot of this sort of transformational type coaching guests on the show with their books. We've had quite a few of that sort of thing. Interesting thing about my guest today is one of the things that she doesn't do is give us 7 or 9 ways to improve your life, which always makes me wonder, you know, what do you do with the rest of the time? But we better find out a bit about her, because she is, what can I tell her? She is a transformational coach and yoga teacher, and she's helped people from worldwide discover their powers and how to improve their life. And all this starting off from a sales girl. Yep. From the bottom, living the American, or so they call it, the American dream. And here she is now, up near the top. Anyway, let's get on, and I better introduce her, and we'll get on with the show. Because on the show today, I have the one and only Ezra Ugot. Hi, Ezra. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Barry. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction.
Well, I practice, you know. People don't...
And you know, you are so right about those 7 steps.
Oh my goodness, I hate them.
Quick things. I know, me too. So thank you for recognizing that, because, you know, it's a little bit more than that, I would say.
It is. And you know, the thing that gets me is that I get people who say, well, I did this thing, and, you know, I asked the people in the audience, you know, are you happy with your life? What would you do to make your life better? Well, if you're not happy with your life, what are you doing? You know, to me, it's like, you know, I'm getting to the stage now where I've just actually, this last week, created my funeral service, if you like. I just put on a thumb drive, the music I want, you know, me chatting to the people, because I don't want it to be sort of down. I want it to be a celebration of my life, and you know, and I one of the things I said in that, and this is the way I think, you know, when you get to this, you know, my sort of age now, and it's coming up to the sevens in the front, and I think, well, you know, have I done enough in my life? Have I made a difference? Could I have done things different? Of course you could do things different. There's always what ifs, you know. But I look at it and say, yeah, you know, I've made somebody along the way, I've made a difference to their life. And to me, that's it. What more can you ask for? And it's like this, you know, 9 things to make your life better. Well, what have you done with the rest of the time? Have you not done anything to make your life better? You know, how could you have done it? Well, why didn't you do it? It's like, I get people on the show who've been in, like, say, abusive relationships or relationships that are wrong. But the thing is, why are they staying there? Because their parents are in the same sort of thing? Because, you know, they're frightened what people might say. When I was in my teens, a long while ago, there was a French singer called Charles Aznavour. His most famous song was She, which was in 4 Weddings and a Funeral and stuff like that. But he had a song called You've Got to Learn. And one of the things he said in that is, you've got to learn to leave the table when love's no longer being served. And I listened to that. I know. And I thought, that is so right. Anyway, you, in your wisdom, now, from your own experience, are able to tell us that, yeah, it's down to you, what you do, and setting up your own limitations and your own pathway. And this in your book, Money Does Grow on Trees. It's like the big T's put me off there. Money does grow on trees. are able to show this. So how did you learn this about this in your, you know, as you went through life?
I think my journey first started with, you know, yoga. I was in a really kind of a bad spot. I was very young, had just moved to LA away from my family, didn't know anybody here, la 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 la. Mm-hmm. And in kind of trying to break into the business in Hollywood, and I was just really kind of, you know, depressed and, you know, using drugs and, you know,
right.
Youngsters sometimes do, drinking a lot and kind of, you know, looking for the purpose of my life.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, having had a near-death experience when I was 16, I also happen to know how good the other side is. You know?
No, I tell you, the lady I had on the show last night was basically the same. A little bit older when she went through it, but she ended up going to India and finding the religious piece, if you like. But it's the same thing. You've got to find... You can't blame yourself for everything. You know, you've got to find the path that's meant for you. And it sounds like that's what you did.
Yeah. I mean, there's absolutely no blame. I, you know, to me, the download I got when I had my near-death experience was like, A, how death is definitely not an end, but
right.
a beginning.
Yeah.
B, I kind of got it that all of us, we're this incredible, immense power of the universe. We are what we're looking for. Mm. And I just got to experience that. And, you know, I thought I would retain it when I came back, but actually it kind of felt like a distant dream once I was back in the body. But the basis for me from that experience was really kind of getting how we are the entire universe individualized in the here and now. And then forgetting that, we're kind of like having, you know, a little storybook of our own. And how we create, what we create within that is very much up to us.
Right. It's your own limitation. Your own limitations. You don't want to impose limitations on yourself, and people do.
Well, it's not. I wouldn't call it, you know, I think we make certain decisions while we're growing up by experiencing the world. Maybe it's, you know, we experience our parents' relationship and we, you know, come to a conclusion about marriage. Or we see how our father is with money and we come to a conclusion.
Right.
Or maybe we watch a movie and we arrive at a conclusion. And then what happens is, like, from that conclusion that we arrive to, we choose to believe in something. And we, you know, this is all happening when we're very young. Right after the fact we've made that decision, we pretty much forget. But the ego keeps it in place for us.
Yep.
And so we keep having that experience until we're done with it. Maybe we learn whatever we learn from it. And then, as your great songwriter friend said, it's time to get up from the table to move on to the next experience. I don't see it as like a kind of like a limitation in the sense of a bad thing.
Oh, okay, no, just, okay.
Yeah.
Is it something that you gradually awakened to, or was it just a sort of conscious moment that you suddenly thought, you know, this is wrong. It's something I can do. I can fix. It's not. I don't have to sort of look at it from the negative side.
Well, yes, I did have a moment like that, and that was kind of with my struggle with money. Mm-hmm. And being a yoga teacher and all, like, you know, I was teaching yoga but hardly able to pay my rent at the time and doing all these other jobs to, you know, be able to pay rent. And there came a point where I remember it was shortly after I met my now husband, then boyfriend. And I realized I'm in my mid-30s and, I you know, if I chose to have a child, I just don't have the money to support a child.
Right.
And that kind of, like, shook me. And I said, you know what? I am done with this limitation of money. This is never happening to me again. So at that moment, without realizing, I did what is called a new being choice. In our system, we call it a being choice, which is a choice different than just what you think in your mind. It's like a choice you make with your whole being as to what you're going to belong to next.
So is it like a transformation of your life? Is that the sort of thing?
Yes, it is. It is. Sometimes it's in a smaller way that it happens, sometimes in a bigger way, but I just made a choice to belong to prosperity.
Ah, okay.
Then Then, as they say, when the student is ready, the teacher shows up. That's when I met my mentor.
Okay.
And 2 weeks after, I believe, and, you know, I told him, I said, look, I'm really successful in limiting myself with money. can you help me with this? And he just started coaching me, and it was either the first or the second week. He made me realize that this whole thing of never having enough money was a choice I made as a 7-year-old.
Wow.
And the experience was, there was a bunch of grown-ups around, and they were talking about some woman that had been, you know, with an arranged marriage,
yep.
A very young woman, married off to a much older man, and they were like, oh, good, you know, now she'll be fine, and it's good she didn't listen to her heart, a smart woman marries into money. And I'm listening to all of this, and I'm kind of like freaking out. And I feel it's like totally wrong for me. So I just go to the bathroom, look at the mirror, and make this promise to myself. I say universe or creator, whatever you want to call.
Mm-hmm.
I say I'm always going to follow the way of love and never the way of money.
Right.
And then, you know, that became what I call a code. Mm-hmm. That kind of a strong decision you make is almost like putting a program into the computer, right?
Yep.
Well, the screen, what is this life screen going to show you? It has to reflect back what you believe. So I had decided as a 7-year-old that love and money don't go together, and one must choose one path or the other.
Wow.
And sure enough, up until I woke up to my own myth that I had created very successfully, that's exactly how my life was.
Wow.
Every single boyfriend I picked didn't have much money.
Right.
Because if money and love don't go together, I ain't going to go for, you know, date anyone that's prosperous, right? I always followed doing what I love to do. And against all odds, you know, I just wouldn't be able to get any money. Like, it would be, let's say I worked with as an intern with Oliver Stone. He loved some of the things I was writing. And so the whole thing kind of expanded to being much more than an internship, but I didn't have the work permit, for example, so he couldn't pay me.
Right, yeah.
You see? So, you know, there it looks like something is happening to you from the outside due to the circumstances of, oh, when you're a student, you don't have a work permit, la, la, la. But really, right behind it, there's like a very specific reason why we're having that specific experience.
Mm-hmm. So you have to take response. I mean, you've created your own limitations, as you said, that relationships and money didn't work together. I mean, to me, it's the opposite way. I'd rather have a relationship and I'm broke as anything, you know. These it cost me last dollar to, you know, to take somebody out, sort of thing. So I do understand, but in your book, you help us find the inner power, I guess, to transform this thing and to, you know, to transform yourself into out of that negative way, I guess.
Yeah, I think one of the, you know, and therefore, since it's coaching, that's why it's not like the 7 steps or the 9 steps.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a process. It's a
journey. Yes, tell me.
Diving into your own consciousness,
yeah.
And seeing like what pieces of the puzzle there are missing. But I think one kind of an interesting way to look at things, and I find this to be very, very helpful, is when we're experiencing something negative. It could be not, you know, finding the love we want. It could be not having enough prosperity. It could be a health issue, right? Not from an understanding that it's anybody's fault, but if we can look at ourselves as extremely powerful creators, we are, you know, the creator in a way, in the physical world, moving in the here and now, kind of mm-hmm. having forgotten what we really are at the core. But that is the truth of who we are. If we can just ask ourselves this question, okay, I'm experiencing this negative, so-called negative thing. What is my gain? What is my benefit from this negativity?
Okay. So, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
And when you can find that, you know, and you see how you're setting up that experience for yourself, it's amazing what a big transformation can happen.
And do you use examples in your book, you know, stories that relate
yes.
to success and failures?
Yes, yes. In the book, there's both the theory, also like my own journey, and I think most importantly, a lot of stories from our own clients that, especially in our certification program that lasts for a year and a half. Wow. So imagine like all the stuff that happens in that year and
a half. Oh my goodness.
There's a lot of their stories.
I bet stories from that. Yes. So, you know, obviously, you know, I get, you know, working through this whole thing, it's just finding the sort of power within yourself to do this transformation. Is that the first step along the path?
The first step, I would say, think of it as like an address going from point A to point B, right? I live in Hollywood. I just moved to Hollywood. If I want to go from here to Santa Monica, well, I got to know the address here to be able to get over there.
Okay.
You know, with a cab, right? So with these manifestation things, Barry, what most people do is they try to like go to, you know, already the point B without kind of understanding what's causing point A and why point A is being experienced to begin with. Oh, you're breaking
sense.
Up a little bit, Barry.
Yeah, so,
I'm sorry.
It's, I think it could be just the how wet it is here right now.
Oh no!
but I mean, I can understand and can relate to that. It's like changing from one reality to another. And that's the steps along the way. You've got to get to it. You've got to understand where you are, as you said, the address, and you've got to understand where you want to go to. But you know, along the way, you know, why am I going to go down this road? What do I need to go around that way? It's like, as you said, a journey.
It is a journey, and for us to get to point B, whatever that point B must, you know, is for each one of us, the must is that it's a clean page. There's not all these belief systems attached to that point B. Let me give you examples. Examples work the best.
Exactly.
For example, when I talked about gain, there was a friend of mine who's like, you know, herself doing coaching. And, you know, she's always kind of had prosperity issues and she's done a lot of workshops. So we were in Istanbul having tea with her and she's like, you know, I just can't figure this thing out. No matter how hard I try, it's just not happening. See, there's immediately the drumming of, I can't, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I was like, you know what? Why don't you stop approaching it from I can't? Why don't you look at it like, okay, prosperity is not happening in my life because I have a gain from it not happening in my life.
Okay.
She's like, what do you mean? No, really, I want it. I said, you know what? Close your eyes. So she closed her eyes, and I put her into this scenario where she's, like, so prosperous. You know, she has a beautiful home, has a beautiful view. She doesn't even have to work for money anymore. She does if she chooses to, la, 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 la. And you know what? She started sweating. She started taking off her coat, and then she started taking off her jacket. And, you know, she's, like, literally sweating in front of me. I'm like, what's going on? What's the feeling that's coming up? And she's like, oh, my God, I just feel so much shame.
Ah.
I'm like, okay, why do you feel so much shame around, you know, prosperity? And bam, she found the belief system right, lying right underneath that shame feeling. If I have more, others will have less because of me.
Yep. Very true. Very true.
So if you're walking around with that belief and you don't want to be like a, you know, a bad person because that's what you believe, well, what are you going to do? Even if a part of you wants to create prosperity, the other part that believes that is going to block it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, how can I say? It's like a conscience in a way. You know, I'd rather... You know, I feel bad that perhaps, you know, I haven't, you know, my family haven't got the big things in life. But on the other hand, they've got a family, they've got a roof over their head, they've got happiness. And, you know, it's how you think of things. You know, do you tot up points for this, or do you tot up points the fact that you're able to go to sleep at night? I can't understand some of these people who do these things and, you know, rip people off all the time and stuff like that. how they can sleep at night. Because to me, I couldn't with a, you know, because my conscience would not let me. And it's like your friend there, you know, she got in a state when she realized that what perhaps she was looking for or thinks she was looking for had a negative side that actually made her feel worse.
Yes, exactly. And of course, you know, when we go off and, you know, rip other people off, it's not at all prosperity consciousness. That's when we, you know, try to get money or whatever from the outside, not feeling it in the inside. So there's a lot of poverty there.
Yep, actually. Indeed. What sort of response has your book had so far?
Well, it's not even totally out yet.
It's not?
Pre-order.
Oh, wow.
No, it's out on September 6th.
I've just realized that. I've just come across that on my notes. September 6th. Okay, so early. Okay, what do you think people are going to look forward to?
Well, I don't know. I mean, so far, you know, some of our clients have read it. You know, friends and family have read it. And, you know, other people I've worked with have read it. So far, it's been phenomenal. But really, my wish with this book is, you know, I just have seen how when we start owning the power of who we are, mm-hmm. when we own that our thoughts, our emotions, you know, kind of create the reality or decide the level of reality we're going to experience, the which theater we're going to be in, which movie we're going to be watching, amazing things happen. So my biggest intention with this book from the bottom of my heart is for, you know, people to kind of practice their power and open up to all the treasures that life gives us, whether it's in the form of health or love or prosperity.
Do you think that's one of the hardest parts for people to actually open up, to not put fences up, to sort of open themselves to, you know, not just in your case, but to religious beliefs or whatever that have you, is that people, for whatever reason, being it's how they are brought up, being it, you know, what they think is right, wrong, etc., that they put fences up, they put guards around themselves and their feelings, you know, as you said, you know, they let money rule rather in their heart or sort of things like that. I believe, you know, talking to a lot of people, in fact, say the lady last night, very similar, but hers was, she sort of found religious outcome in India and stuff like that. But I think the hardest thing for people to do is to let their guard down as much as anything, to open themselves to accepting things like this and to realizing that they can make a difference in their lives.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that defense thing that you're talking about is very true. We in our system call that, we call that the ego.
Okay.
We believe ego, and I don't like see it really be, because usually in America, like kind of ego is like, yeah, it just has a bad name, and it's like, oh, don't come from your ego. But, you know, ego is a function we all have.
Yeah.
And actually in Latin, ego apparently just means I am, or I. That's mm-hmm. all it means.
Yeah.
And so when we do decide something, a belief system, like this girl is like, oh, if I have more, others will have less because of me, which is not true, because abundance is available for all the time. It's like feeling, oh, if I breathe too deep, there's just not going to be enough oxygen left for other people.
Right.
Work that way.
Right.
And neither does abundance work that way.
Yeah, right? I'm going to breathe too much, you're going to take it all. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so her defense, like, so because that's what she chose to believe, her ego immediately protects that belief and that reality. So that's the only kind of defense there. It's the defense of the ego to protect our old reality. Hmm. So when we want to get outside of that box, get out of the box, it's very important that the desire, a burning desire to get outside of the box, is more powerful than all the gains we have from staying in our safe zone.
Indeed.
So that's what decides the difference, you know? When people have a burning desire to change, a book could fall on the top of their heads and they'll have the change.
Right.
They don't even need the coaching.
Right. No, that's true. Sometimes. That's true. Yeah, and some people just need to be... Yeah, shown the way, for want of a better word, and yeah, better words, and indeed, in your book, I'm sure that's what you know, you're doing. But we are running out of time, so what I'm going to do now, Ezra, is I know it goes so quickly when you start chatting
it
and enjoying yourself,
but what, I love the toilet paper. I love that one.
Yeah, I know. I heard it about a month ago, and I just heard it from somebody, and I thought, that is so true. It really is. So you can use it. I'll let you use it. But what I'm going to do now is, anyway, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and your book and everything else. So over to you.
Oh, thank you so much, Barry. Well, the book is going to be released September 6th. It's on Amazon.com, and it's on pre-sale right now as we speak. And also, you can find us at our website with my husband, because we do everything we do together. He's an amazing writer himself. And that is IkenEstraNow.com.
Yeah, he's a writer, isn't he, Ike, if I remember right? I'm sure I've read about
it. Oh, yeah. He's a writer. Yeah, his first book sold like a million copies in Turkey, so he's a pretty amazing writer.
Oh, wow. So you're trying to catch up, really.
Right.
Well,
help me catch up.
There you go. Quick, buy more of Ezra's book. Quick, everybody, when it comes out. We've got a family contest going. Anyway,
he's amazing, and hopefully we're going to have his amazing book out in English as well very soon.
That's great. Thank you so much, Ezra, for being a guest on the show. It's been great chatting to you, and it's the sort of book that I think a lot of people can actually relate to, perhaps more of these sort of, you know, six ways to do things, being in the sort of format that people can understand. So good luck when it comes out officially.
Thank you so much, Barry. You're the best. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, you go. My guest today. How about that, eh? That was the one and only Ezra. And I better say this right, because it's O-G-U-T. Oh, good. And I'm not even going to attempt the middle name after last night's mistakes. But no, I did quite all right last time. The easier they are, the worse I am. But yes, Ezra Ogut, O-G-U-T. I'm talking about her book, Money Does Grow on Trees. Well, you have to think about it and read the book and find out more. But that's it for now for this week. I'll be back the weekend with my music shows on Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. We've got Those Were the Days, music from the 20th century. And the theme this week is songs with whistling in it. I know, Dock of the Bay's easy, we all get that one. Think of other ones you can come down to. Anyway, that's between 5 and 6 p.m. on Sunday. And then from 6 to 7 p.m., we've got the Swinging 60s. Not just the British Invasion, but from music from the 60s from all around the world. So that's on Sunday. And then next Tuesday, I'll be back with another guest here on A Book and a Chat. So until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. And people wonder why. What I do, because I say that, and they say, what did you say? What did they say? That's because if you listen to the music on the outro, after I say one thing left to say, I play the music, and it says, throw away those cobwebs, etc., etc. But yes, so I'll say it again, and now you might know what it's about, because I have one thing left to say. Don't forget.